Sullivan testing the Portuguese.
You know, I like to be fit and healthy, so the best way I know is to just get out there and run.
Running was an outlet for me to, I guess, feel good about myself and take out some of the angers that were going on in my life.
Sonny O'Sullivan is going to take the world title back to Ireland.
So you want to run a fast 5K and you're not sure how to train for it, or you once tried and it didn't go to plan. Over the next few weeks on Irishman Running Abroad, the GOAT, the queen of Irish athletics, Sonia O'Sullivan is going to guide me and you on how to run your fastest 5K race on the day and how to train for it in the weeks leading up. It's the opposite of the last challenge we took on here on the podcast, the marathon. But there are similarities, Sonia. There's definitely things that will be crossing over from both, right?
Yes, I mean, you still have to... People think 5K... That's 3 miles. It's a very small percentage of a marathon. But you still have to run a lot. If you look at the 5K runners on the track, many of them would be training as much as a marathon runner, close to it. Maybe not broken up in the same way, but they'll still have a long run. So we'll still have a long run. We still need the fitness, but maybe not as long as if you're going for the marathon, when the important thing is to have time on your feet and to be running
that. Yeah. So will it be the case that time on feet that people have from maybe banked from their marathon training will be a massive help in achieving their fastest 5K time? Like the Jarlath that's coming to this now, having 3 marathons under his belt, is he in a better position than the Jarlath that came to this having never run a half?
Absolutely. Yeah, you have a massive big base and a huge foundation of fitness and aerobic fitness behind you. And so now we need to take that and to convert that into a bit more anaerobic fitness. And so there'll be, definitely more specific, faster sessions. And that's where it's be really important for people to figure out where they're at right now. You know, everybody wants to break barriers in the 5K. There's a 30-minute barrier, 25-minute, maybe even 35-minute, 20-minute is a big one. And just because you want to do it doesn't mean that you have to actually train at that level from the outset, that you have to work towards that as well. The speed and the drills and the strides would be very important at the end of runs.
I'm so excited to get stuck into this, especially after the grueling training that went into both Dublin and London. I'm coming out the other side. The last time we spoke, I was nursing that IT band stiffness that gave me all that pain in the Sights and Sounds episode. Today was my first 4K on the road, and it does really feel like I'm starting from scratch. But as you say, it's all still there. There's no doubt that training, lifestyle, and race adjustments, as in race-specific adjustments, will make you run a faster 5K. But there isn't really one thing, is there, Sonia? Like, people are kind of looking for the magic trick here. There isn't such a thing. There's nothing on its own that will get you a PB. And it's important for us to go into this knowing that, right?
No, there's nothing on its own, but people might have one area that they can improve in themselves, but that of course will be different for everybody. There's lots of different areas to tap into, and so if we do all that, then we'll pull them all together, and then you head for your 5K. But the most important thing is to find your starting point, and you know the simplest way to do that is, I bet you can answer the question.
Get out there and run one. Run a park run.
Go to your local park run, and see where you're at. And it doesn't matter if your local park run is not a flat one. It's your local park run, and that's the one that you're going to measure it off of. And it's a bit like when you're doing training sessions, not everybody has a track close by that they can go and have that nice smooth surface and lines on the track where you can measure exactly how far you're running. So sometimes you have to go to a park and pick, you know, I'm going to run from this tree to this tree. And as long as you do that distance every time you go and do that same session, then you've got something to compare it to week after week.
Well, we want all of you guys involved in this. Like Sonia says, everyone's got a park run near them or somewhere near them. We want you to be involved. Join the Strava group, get in touch with me, join the WhatsApp group, and we can get as many people pointed in one direction. We'll try and get a few 5Ks booked in around Ireland or wherever you are in the world, and we can see how we go from there. But honestly, people mightn't be on board with this podcast all the way back when I did manage to break 20 for 5K with your help, Sonia. And one of the big attractions for me about turning our focus back to 5K is the amount of variety, the fun, and the confidence that I got out of that last attempt, even though I really thought I hadn't done it when I actually did it. It was actually a time trial where it happened and my Apple Watch went wonky, and it was only when I got home and saw what it was that I'd done it. There's just more fun in this than pain, in my opinion, if you're looking for a reason to get into it. Would you agree with that, Sonia? There's more crack to be found in this than maybe in other longer distance.
I think it'll be different for different people. I mean, there is a lot of fun, but I mean, in some ways, I think it's harder to run 5K than a marathon.
Really?
In the you definitely have the focus of the intensity. And I mean, it depends on your goals, of course. Like if you're just running a 5K, then that's no problem. But it depends on the high benchmark that you set yourself and what you want to achieve. So I think in that sense, you have to kind of take stepping stones to get there and not expect that, okay, just because I want to run this time and I'm going to run a week of 5K training, that you're going to go out and do it. It's still going to take a good few weeks of training. So you still have the same maybe amount of time to do a 5K. I think the important thing will be if we can pick a 5K that everyone gets involved with. And so we'll have everybody out here now scouring to find their local 5K, the one that they want everybody to come and run with them. And there's lots going on, particularly in Ireland, yeah. In the summertime. There's a lot of evening races. And then there's a chat, maybe we can't all get a 5K. Maybe we have to do a 4 mile or a 5 mile or, you know, I think anything 10K or less, you know, this can all be achieved with the same or similar training. So we need to create a few different groups of people who are aiming for similar times, and then we'll set the plan and, yeah, set people on their way. It is exciting. With the 5K, there's definitely a bit more specific pace in there. And, you know, you may have to not always run together. You can start together and you can warm up together, but there comes a time when, you know, you have to go your pace.
Yes. Well, I'm going to give a shout out to a few of those races later on in the show, including the LSA Peninsula 4 mile road race on the 26th of May. That's Sunday, the 26th of May, starting at 9:30 a.m. You can find all of these races over on myrunresults.ie. And of course, the John Buckley Sports one down in Cork. We really are in 5K season. There's so many of them around the country. We'd love to hear from you. IrishManAbroadPodcast@gmail.com. You must hear people all the time saying, oh, I'm going to run 25 minutes for 5K, or I am running 25, and I want to run 22 in 5 weeks. What would you say are the keys to setting the most manageable while challenging 5K goal?
I think the first thing is, like anything, you have to set an achievable goal. And so maybe you're better off setting a easier to achieve goal initially. And, you know, get some satisfaction that you've actually achieved something. Then you see how you've done that. And then you nudge the runs and the sessions along to help you to go even faster. So, as I said, I think stepping stones to the ultimate goal is the way to go. Mm.
And so a kind of a wider long-term goal and a couple of increments along the way.
Yes, I think if you, like you have the big picture and then you have the small picture. And so you have little checkpoints along the way. And so initially we're going to build the framework on the jigsaw puzzle, and then we're going to do the corners, and then we're going to work our way into the middle.
Into the middle. Right. So I've got a book in my hand here that you recommended to me, and I recommend everybody listening to this. It's the book recommendation of the week from Sonia and myself. Pete McGill's Fast 5K, 25 Crucial Keys and 4 Training Plans. It is a kind of a classic, this book. If you are to go to Amazon, it will be the number one 5K running book out there. Now, I'll throw in a couple of Pete's pointers here. One is, he says, it is better to just say, I want to run faster for my next 5K than the last one. He thinks that a time goal can really just be arbitrary and produce a lot of disappointment. And this is as much a head game, he says, as anything. So if you go and get your benchmark at your next park run, what do you think of that, Sonia? Of saying, right, I have my benchmark. Now my next goal is to find a race and attempt to run slightly faster than that. How's that for a small picture versus big picture goal?
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I mean, it sets a very tangible goal to have that. Okay, I'm just focusing on myself, not a line in the sand that, you know, people, that everybody wants to achieve. But this is my personal goal. And then I think you can, you know, if you look at the 5K, generally the time barriers that people set themselves are every 5 minutes. So there's a big space in there to, you know, go from one, say from 30 minutes to 25 minutes. That's a good 5 minutes. That's a minute a kilometer. So, you know, you do definitely have to break that down into pieces. And you'll find that it's harder to knock big chunks of time off of your 5K time than it is off your marathon or your half marathon or even 10 mile time, because there's less time to do it. You're working with less time, but it's also more intense time that you're working with. And you know, there comes a point and you can only go so fast.
Yeah, well, you bring up the word intensity there, and volume and intensity is something that probably people are already starting to think about if they're considering joining us on this journey. More general rule of thumb is 10% increase per week. And the more I think about that, the more I think, is that maybe too conservative an increase for new runners who maybe could bump it up a little bit more each week, and maybe a bit too aggressive for more experienced runners who are already doing quite a lot?
Exactly. There's no one rule for everybody. And, you know, if you're running 60 kilometers a week, 10% is six kilometers. If you're running 10 kilometers a week, then 10% is only 1 kilometer. It's different for different people. And I think you have to get a feel for where you're at. And the main thing with increasing the volume that you're doing is that you don't make a huge leap and you're doubling the amount of running that you're doing in 1 week, because, you know, then you're opening the door to injuries, illness, because you're just putting yourself under a lot more pressure too quickly. And everybody will get there eventually if they take their time and they're not in a rush to do it. Important thing is to find where you're at right now and then say, okay, well, how can I improve this? And there's so many different things you can do. You could put your 5K time down in the middle of a piece of paper and draw a circle around it and then draw lines out from it and pick out, okay, all the different areas where you think you can improve a small bit. And then all those little things will add up. And it's not all about the running that you're doing. It's the lifestyle that you're leading, recovery methods, your diet, your hydration. Like, there's all these little boxes that you can tick that can all help you to be a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned lifestyle, and I do. I'm always casting my mind back to that period when we tried to break 20 all those moons ago. It seems like 2 years ago, nearly. I guess it was like March 2022 when this happened. And definitely lifestyle was a big thing, because if we're to find the right volume and intensity, Sonia, it's like what Pete says in the book is, it's like a Goldilocks method. We want to do not too much, not too little, but just right. Like, there's a sweet spot. Is the only way to find that sweet spot where lifestyle, intensity, volume, strength work kind of line up, is it just trial and error? Is that the only way you can kind of find that?
Yeah, it's a very personal thing. And it's kind of like, how do you like your coffee in the morning? And everybody will like it differently. And I was thinking about that when I was making mine. Like, what's your coffee routine in the morning?
Oh, mine is so pathetic.
Come on, let us know.
Like, I am one of those people that will drink any form of owl shite instant coffee.
No.
Which I know is sacrilege to so many people listening to this, especially the real coffee heads. But I am Millicano, one spoon, dash of water, lob the hot water in on top of it. What's yours?
Oh, this is why I'm always late getting on this podcast, you know, because I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. And then the coffee, it's like, well, first of all, when I'm not, if I'm in Cove now, I've made it slightly easier for myself because I've got myself a nice coffee grinder that the guys up in 3FE convinced me to buy last year. They said, "Oh, it'll make your life make a huge difference to your life." But when I'm not there, I have a hand coffee grinder, so I have to put the coffee beans into the grinder because, of course, I never put them in the day before when I empty it.
Yeah.
To grind the coffee, boil the water at initially. Well, the first thing is you got to boil the water at 200 degrees. And the 200 or 190, no, it can't be 200. It's 100 is boiling, isn't it?
Yeah, 100 is boiling. Maybe 200 is lava.
Hang on, I got to look at this. I think it must be Fahrenheit or something. Oh, it is, yeah. It's 200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit, right.
That's the temperature for coffee, apparently, which is slightly less than boiling. And the amazing thing with this is when I was in Philadelphia last week, and I stayed with Marcus O'Sullivan one night, and so he was up doing his jobs and stuff in the morning, and he goes, what do you want to do for coffee? And, you know, I'm thinking Marcus now, he's probably just got a coffee machine or something, as they do in all American houses.
You know, yeah, an espresso.
No, the drip.
You know, oh, the dripper. Yeah, yeah.
Which you can actually get really nice fancy ones of those now, and they're very good. And the coffee, the determination of the coffee is actually determined by the quality of your coffee beans.
I always thought that was the mankiest stuff of all, one of those drip jokes.
Yeah, the old style ones, they do, and they're going all day long and they just smell. It's like not unreal them. Yeah. But anyway, Marcus had the pour over and I was like, oh, this is great. I love this. And he's like, you know, do you know how to use this? I'm like, yeah, just show me where everything is and I'll work away. So that's easy, the pour over. You sit the thing on top of your cup and you have your filter and grind your coffee beans.
Off you go. Yeah.
Put them in and, you know, you have to have you heard of a gooseneck jug?
I do know the gooseneck jug, yeah.
Those are the business, but I don't have one of them everywhere either. It's like I have pieces of my life all over the world. So my official gooseneck jug is in Melbourne. And then Sophie got me a lovely one here earlier this year. But it's an electric one. At the moment, to finish my slow coffee process at the moment, which just slows me down again at the moment because I don't have a filter. I am actually using an AeroPress. Now, do you know what that is?
Oh, I've seen this. Yes. Mick Finnegan, former guest of the show, was the first man to introduce me to this. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
I remember.
But this yoke produces some good coffee.
The first time I had the AeroPress was at Falls Creek and I went to use it and there was like coffee just, it exploded. It went everywhere. It was the biggest mess ever. So I washed it up, I packed it up and I put it in the cupboard and I didn't use it for a year. And
punishment.
Yes. Then I finally figured it out. But of course, the key is the actual coffee beans that you get. And my coffee beans that I brought with me. So wherever I go, I bring coffee beans from the last place I've been. And so my current coffee beans are from 3FE in Dublin. They travel.
Well, we're on a parallel journey here then with this 5K, and we need to link it up. If you want me to turn around my coffee as well as my 5K, I will this week have a snoop around and see what I can do, and maybe I can increase the quality of my coffee and the time that I'm running. I'm not so totally focused on the time right now. I think it is just like you say, if I find that benchmark in my local park run this week, that's what we're focused on this week. Find your benchmark, figure out what it is, get it down on paper, and then we'll see where we're going. We've had so many suggestions right away, Sonia, as to where we should take these 5K runs in. Maybe next year when we have this all locked in, it'll be a yearly thing we do where we get our 5K time down during the summer. We'd have a little race series that the listeners could come along to. First of which would be in Belfast, the first elite 5K road race in Belfast. The entries are now open. You just go to Belfast5km.com. Check in. They say it's a fast and fun 5K road race through Belfast and the Titanic Quarter. Seamus McAteer suggested that one. It was Fintan Coonahan who got in touch from the LSA and said the Peninsula 4 Mile Road Race is a cracker and there's still entries available for that one. Helen Carr was in touch to say the Terenure 5 Miler on the 12th of May is fantastic. And she also says the Docklands 5K in July is fast as hell, flat through the city centre, 5K, a nice warm evening. You can't beat it. You go to Docklands5k.com for that one. Is there any ones that you can think of, Sonia, that specifically you like?
I haven't looked up any, but I will for next week. I'll go and check them out. Now, I noticed that everything you said there, it's all about fast, fast, fast. And I know we have listeners out there who they're, you know, they might be scared or frightened away by fast. And I mean, I think that I could nearly put myself in that category now. Mm. Is that I would just like to run 5K and to enjoy it. And so you want to know that, you know, that's available to people as well. And that, I mean, you don't have to line up at the front line and have the fast shoes on and ready to hair off down the road. And there's sometimes you will get more out of it if you don't do that. And you pace yourself and then you finish strong and you start to pass people. And yeah, I think we need to look at, yeah, fast 5K is great, but I also think fun 5K. And, yeah, you know, I think there's room for everyone. And it's, yeah, I mean, I think the events themselves will give a lot to people. And that means that there's probably going to be maybe some trail 5Ks out there or some hilly 5Ks. Different challenging 5Ks in nice places. You know, there's the flat places are not always the best places in the world. And sometimes it's good to get out there and explore the woods.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, this is where your park run, as you say, is so important. We don't want to forget the fun in this. And I really am keen for that to be, you know, a selling point. If you're thinking about joining us, that, you know, the group run or the group session is something I really recommend people get down to their club for. If ever there's a time for you to think, maybe this is my chance to join the local track club. I met Elaine de Courcy at the Tala performance of Your Man. She's, of course, a longtime member of the Irishman Running Abroad crew, and she just joined her local club. And those Tuesday night track sessions might be exactly what you need if you are afraid of heading to the track by yourself or feeling a little bit on your own in this. We want to institute fun as a top priority in all of this. And with that in mind, Sonia, I need to give a shout out to Tina this week, who presented me with the much fabled, long awaited, much sought Alpha Flight 3 set Nike released. The most hyped shoe maybe in history. Tina presented them to me as a marathon gift. And they haven't been worn. They haven't been tried out. But I thought that it might be a bad idea to test them against another shoe. The Radical Runner in Navan presented me with a pair of Saucony fast shoes. They're super fast shoes. And they're a fraction of the price of these Alpha 3s. So I thought maybe we do that. We do a high-end premium shoe comparison test and see if maybe you can get a fast shoe for yourself for a fraction of the price. I'll be interested to see what's the difference really between the two when the technology is now available to every company, seems to have a fast plated shoe. What's the discussion around your neck of the woods, Sonia, around these super shoes and super spikes heading towards the Olympics?
Yeah, well, spikes is definitely the thing at the moment. And it seems to have leveled out a little bit. There's more with the aesthetics of the shoes at the moment. And, you know, just the uppers and the different materials that they're made of, because that's equally as important as the actual plate and the foam in the shoe. Because it needs to be comfortable. A lot of athletes will wear spikes and not with socks on. But these spikes that athletes wear nowadays they're just on another level altogether. And, you know, they just propel the athletes forward and they look fantastic. You know, they look amazing. These shoes, the bright colors and everything are really, really great. You know, it's great to see all those men out there running in pink shoes.
Yeah. Are you envious at all? I often wonder this. Like, you're definitely envious of the super shoes in terms of your recovery from those 100-mile weeks that you used to put in. But God, you must be thinking about these track spikes. God, it would have been cool to have those back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was definitely very limited choice of spikes back then. And, you know, sometimes you would wear the same pair of spikes all season long. And, you know, they would be manky by the end of the season. Really bad, but you know, because we didn't, oftentimes you didn't wear socks and they just were stunk. They were brutal. I definitely would love to have, you know, been in a position to wear the spikes and to feel what they feel like going at a fast pace. So I guess you just have to surround yourself with people who are wearing them now and see.
See what they can do.
As you can make them go. And, you know, the relays was a starting point last week. There's been a couple of Diamond League races on already, and there's one coming up in Doha this week. I think there's three Irish athletes running there. Who's running there? Andrew Cosgrin, maybe, Sarah Healy, and Sarah Lavin. So that'll be great to see. You know, it's always good to see Irish athletes on the Diamond League stage and, you know, get their season off to a start.
We, of course, have to talk about the Irish mixed relay team securing their place at the Olympics with a bronze in the Bahamas. It was an unbelievable performance, and just why relay is so much fun. Sonia, of course, has a past in this relay, and not a lot of people know that, but that was one of your favorite things to do back in college. We're going to talk about that over on patreon.com/Irishman Abroad. Every single week you get extra large episodes of our podcast. You can support our show and its continued creation. You'll get Honey Rooney, Our Kid on a Monday, and Marion McKeown making sense of the US election each week. It's only a fiver to sign up, and it only takes a couple of clicks. Trust me, you'll want to be signed up for what I have lined up in the coming months. Some big, big changes on the horizon. This coming week, I will be in Blanchardstown for two shows. They're more or less sold out. There's about three seats in the back rows, if you want them, at Blanchardstown Dríocht. I'll be in Colchester and Cambridge, then 16th and 17th of May. And then on the 18th, I'm back in Drogheda. In the TLT, the Tommy Leddy Theatre, which is a gigantic place, Sonia. Who knew that Drogheda had a 900-seat theatre in it? Well, there it is. It's almost sold out. On the 18th of May, I'd love you guys to come out and see this. It's really the last few dates of the Your Man Tour. Pop on to jigsaw.com/gigs for the rest. And in the meanwhile, we'll see the rest of you over on patreon.com/Irishman Abroad.
One of the keys to like maintaining your brain mass is pushing past that comfortable zone physically, you know, exercise wise.
Eamon Coughlin on his way to a major title for the first time in his life. The champion of the world.
Imagine, you know, a world where everybody could go out the door and engage in the kind of exercise that's going to make them more relaxed, more healthy, burn off stress.